Our Bible reading this morning comes from Psalm 90. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and let us now listen, therefore, to the word of God. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. A new year has dawned, and I'm sure that we all have our own hopes and dreams about what we would like to accomplish. If you're still in school, you're looking forward to meeting your new class teacher and maybe seeing your friends again. Maybe this will be the year when you get to do some new subjects which you're particularly excited about, or maybe try a new sport. Perhaps if it's your last year at school, you're nervous about exams. Those matric grades will have a big impact on your future. For those of us who are older, we look forward to lots of other things that could possibly happen this year. Perhaps welcoming a child, a new child into the home, starting a new business, maybe a special family holiday, or perhaps even marriage. Who knows for sure what the year will bring? But along with these individual dreams, as a society, we are all hoping that the next year is one in which things can go back to normal. We don't like these lockdown restrictions, and we want to play sports again. We want to meet our friends and family without having to constantly look over our shoulder. We want to worship without fear of persecution. We want to enjoy life without having to worry about infecting people with the virus. We all have hopes and dreams, and in Psalm 90 we are given a song that provides us with a healthy dose of reality as we enter the new year, a new year song, so to speak. A song which gives us the right perspective as we make plans for our future. A song that reminds us that God is much greater than we are, and the universe revolves around Him and not around us. To start with, if we focus our attention now onto the psalm, you'll notice that it begins by encouraging us to reflect on our lives in the light of God's eternity. So, written by Moses, the leader of a pilgrim people who are used to wandering from one place to the next, used to lots of changes, we are reminded that the Lord is eternal and he does not change. We consider the vast expanse of time, how many years there have been, how many years lie ahead, and we come up with numbers that we struggle to fathom. The earth and the universe appear to be very old, with theories abounding from millions to billions of years. Such numbers are simply impossible to comprehend. When we think to changes that have taken place are close to home, well, 100 years ago, Pretoria was a small town. 50 years before that, it was simply a farm, and if you go back further, you are left with grasslands and wildlife. So many changes have taken place in such a small amount of time, and only God was around to see it all. He has existed before creation. He was present when mountains were brought forth. 1,000 years are as yesterday in his sight. From everlasting to everlasting, God has been there. Now, mentioning God's eternal existence, his existence outside of time, the purpose of the psalm is not so much to bring us to a place where we marvel at just how old God is, but rather the psalm wants to humble us. It wants us to recognize that in comparison to God, our lives are trivial and insignificant. We might think that our plans and ideas are important. They're certainly important to us, but they are not ultimate, and they do not determine the course of the world. Now this we know to be true in the context of human history. Your life and my life, we play but a small role in society. Most of our names will be quickly forgotten in the generations to come. Only few people, if any, will remember us. Now, if that's true for our time in human history, in the context of eternity, our lives are even shorter and our names even more insignificant. Like a flood that sweeps through land and is gone. Like a vivid dream which is forgotten in the morning. Like grass that grows one day only to die the next. That is the reality of the human life. When you are young, there is energy, there is vitality, plans are made, houses are built, and then one day everything is finished. Our years come to an end like a sigh, verse 9, and we are forgotten. In comparison to God, our lives in this world are fleeting and insignificant. And the reason for this, the answer to the why question, why is it the case that our lives are so short, so passing, is because God has ordained it to be so in response to sin. If we look at God's anger and wrath in the psalm, God's anger, God's wrath seems to be focused on the miseries and the hardships which we experience in a fallen world. So though we could identify God's wrath with the punishment that Moses and the Israelites experienced in the desert, you remember there was 40 years of wandering from place to place. Nevertheless, the allusion to Genesis 3, which we find in verse 3, return man to dust, and then again verse 10, toil and trouble, those two allusions suggest that the psalm is not tied to a specific moment in the desert, but it's more of a general reflection on life in this world. Life in this world is hard because God makes it hard. In response to sin, God frustrates our work and allows our bodies to decay. 60, 70, 80 years we will all work until we die. We will not live on this earth forever. Your name at the company will be forgotten. The house you built will come to ruins. Future generations of your family will forget your name. We have been made from dust, and one day we will return to dust. And this is the pattern that God has established, because he will not allow human sin to continue forever. There will be a day when man's sinful plans and schemes come to an end. God is righteous and good. He is holy and just. He looks upon the iniquity of man and declares, this will not continue forever. Death brings an end to sin for all men. Verse 7, we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath, we are dismayed. Adam and Eve chose to ignore God and follow their own way. They were driven from the garden, so they cannot eat from the tree of life. And ever since that day, their descendants have lived under the wrath of God. Our days are full of toil and trouble. Thorns and thistles are produced by the land. Work is frustrating and difficult. Childbearing is full of anguish. Our years are soon gone, and we fly away. It's not particularly enjoyable to be confronted with the truth of the human condition this morning. As we look forward to a new year, we want to be encouraged that God will bless our plans and there will be times of great happiness and prosperity that we can all look forward to. That's the hope we see on billboards and read in the newspapers. A new vaccine will allow us to fulfill our dreams once again. But Psalm 90 prevents us from being so naive. It encourages us to keep the right perspective as we make plans for our lives. We must make our plans with a great sense of humility. God willing. We must remember that life will be difficult. And this year could even be our last. Whether it is coronavirus, car accident, or something else, we are not in control of the future. We are not entitled to prosperity. As much as we want 2021 to be a return to normal, it is likely to be a year filled with struggles and hardships. We may come face to face with much physical pain. We might experience the death of a child, the loss of a business, financial ruin, maybe even the end of a friendship. We live in the world of Genesis 3. And we must remember that as we look forward to the new year. The first step in wise living is to recognize our frailty, our dependence upon God, and to number our days. Our time on earth is short and difficult. It will not last forever. Verse 12 could well have been the end of the psalm. Life is short, we must learn to number our days, we must realize our plans will not always work out. However, the psalm continues with a prayer for the Lord to intervene and bring about life, joy, and blessing. The futility and shortness of life might be a reality, but it's not a reality that we want. Death is an enemy, it doesn't belong, and therefore it's a reality that the psalmist asks the Lord to change. He doesn't want to live under God's wrath. He wants to enjoy peace with God. He wants to enjoy life in God's presence. He wants to return to the garden from which he was kicked out. We don't know exactly when the psalm was written. As I mentioned earlier, Moses is identified as the author. And though it is a general psalm, perhaps he is also providing us with at least a partial perspective on the wilderness wanderings. Possibly he wrote the psalm at the very end of his life, just before the people entered the land of Canaan. If that's the case, then Moses' prayer is one in which he hopes that life in the land of Canaan would be life free from toil and hardship. Across the Jordan River was life in God's presence, life in the land of milk and honey, life where Israel could enjoy blessing and prosperity. Now, if that was the focus of Moses' prayer, then we can confirm that it was answered by God. Canaan was a partial fulfillment of the hope expressed in the final verses of the psalm. You might remember from our series in the book of Joshua, when we came to the end of chapter 11, we were told that the land enjoyed rest from war. We know the people of Israel came to live in houses they did not build and to enjoy the fruit of vineyards which they did not plant. In the promised land, God manifested his favor towards Israel in very tangible ways, and unlike any other nation on earth. He made known his glorious power with the crossing of the Jordan River and the destruction of Jericho's walls. He made the work of his people's hands prosper beyond compare. Yet the answer to Moses' prayer would ultimately come not in the land of Canaan, but the new heaven and the new earth which God is preparing for his people. That is the land where there will be no more toil or trouble, no more grief or pain. That is the land to which we will be taken when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. That is the land for which we long as we sing this psalm. Not a heaven on earth, not a prosperous 2021, but life in God's glorious new creation, life in new resurrection bodies, life in a world which is not under the curse of God's anger and wrath. Now that life is a reality which we can look forward to if we're believers in Jesus Christ. The Lord who has existed from eternity, God who has ever been the dwelling place of his people, he came in the person of Jesus Christ to draw us into fellowship with him. The Word became flesh. He took on our frail nature, the form of a servant. He made himself nothing so that we might inherit eternal life, so that life in God's presence, life which was lost by Adam, might become ours in Christ. He came to take our iniquity upon himself and bear the eternal punishment that sin deserves. And the result is that if we have faith in him, our death, whenever it might come, it will not be payment for sin, but the gateway to eternal life. Because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, we can also be confident that we will likewise be raised incorruptible, and that the present ugliness of getting old and sick is not the end of the story. So here then is the message of the psalm. Life is short. We live in a world that has been cursed. We must number our days and realize that we have no guarantee that our hopes and dreams for the future will become realities. We cannot create a heaven on earth. There will always be viruses, and Satan will keep trying to destroy God's church. However, we can be sure that when Christ returns in glory, he will gather us to a wonderful new earth, where we will rejoice and be glad all our days. Death is not the end. God's anger has been satisfied. Yet, this psalm does not simply leave us with a right perspective for 2021 and a longing for Christ's return. It also encourages us to consider our lives in the light of God's plans rather than our own. The beginning of the psalm told us that God is eternal. He is the one who existed before the world was formed. Throughout all generations, he is the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, his work is the work that will last, and his plans are the plans that will come to fruition. He is determined to build his church through the preaching of his word and by the power of his spirit, and he will continue to do so in the year that lies ahead of us. How graciously he calls us as children of God to participate in that work. Now, the work of harvest is part of the good works which Christ has prepared for us to do. In the words of the Apostle Paul, our labor in the Lord as Christian believers is not in vain. When we participate in the work of harvest, we are busy with work that will last for all eternity. Through our prayers for our neighbor, through our giving to support gospel ministry, through a kind word spoken to a friend, through a request for forgiveness when we have sinned. God is using all these things to grow his kingdom. I think we will all be pleasantly surprised to discover on the last day how something which we did or said in obedience to Christ, something which we maybe thought was insignificant, we will see how it was gloriously used by the Spirit. In Christ, the work of our hands can be established. We can participate in the work of harvest, in God's plans. Let us therefore, as we look forward to a new year, let us be determined not to look for heaven on earth, and not promoting our plans at the expense of God's plans. Yes, we must work to earn a living, but let us also give ourselves to participating in the work of harvest. Let us disciple our children. Let us spend time in prayer for our friends and family. Let us look for opportunities to testify to Christ and know that all our dreams and hopes are Deo volente, God willing. Our lives are short and our time in this world is limited. May God help us to number our days and grant us a heart of wisdom. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for a new year. Thank you for the various opportunities that lie ahead of us. Thank you for the good works that you prepared for us, that we might walk in them. And Lord, we ask that you'll help us to approach this year with a humility and the recognition that our lives, our time is in your hands, that you are in control of this world, that you have plans which are bigger than ours, and that you are calling us to participate in your plans. And so we ask that you'll help us to give ourselves to the work of harvest, to praying for our friends and family, to supporting the ministry of your word, to be growing in godliness and holiness. May that be one of our chief desires this year, that you would work in us by your Spirit to grow us in knowledge of your word, to help us live godly lives so that we can win our neighbors for Christ, so that we can show the goodness of your gospel and what we do and say. We pray also, Lord, for our country. We know that we're currently going through a time where there's a lot of fear. A lot of people are unsure about what the future holds, unsure about whether or not we will survive 2021, unsure about what this virus will do to our livelihoods. Please may we rest assured that you're in control of this world, that you are working all things for the good of those who belong to you, and that even if we should die, even if this year should be our last, our death is not payment for sin, but the gateway, the doorway to eternal life in your presence. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.